Yes, y'all. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Dumb Marks After Dark Special Edition, breaking down AEW's All Out pay-per-view and the week that was in AEW. Gentlemen, how we doing on this fine Friday evening?
Feels
I'm
like
good.
fall
Everybody
already.
good?
Oh, yes. I'm loving this weather.
Cool, crispy mornings. It felt good. It was, hoodie and campfire weather feeling this morning,
Definitely.
getting up. So, yes, sir. All right. Well, as you can see, we're a trifecta right now. We don't know if the fourth person is going to join us tonight and grace us with his presence. When he does, as you can see from my name tag, I already got a quote for him. So he can redeem these nuts whenever he gets online here. All right, so let's jump into this, man. Just coming off an episode of Rampage here to close out all Elite Week in Chicago. We had Dynamite Wednesday night, Rampage live tonight. I guess we can cover both of those shows, and before we break down the card on the pay-per-view that's on Sunday here. But what are your guys' just initial thoughts overall from the week before we break down different stuff that was all Elite Wrestling in Chicago?
Can't say it was a great go home week for them, especially if this is like one of their two biggest shows of the year. Just felt like, I
Donald.
don't know. I didn't finish Rampage or Dynamite. I missed some of each of them, but I've had other stuff going on. But yeah.
To
Bo, what
me,
do you think?
it just seemed like the story progressed with the main event after what happened on Dynamite with the cage and everything. Everything else was just seemed like bland leading up to, everybody's matches and stuff.
That's what I missed. I missed the ending. I missed the main event, the cage stuff on Wednesday.
Yeah, that felt a little flat for me on Wednesday night, and I was interested to see how they were gonna play this out because this is the first pay-per-view where we have Rampage before the actual pay-per-view. So you weren't necessarily. I was going to see if you were going to necessarily get a true go-home show on Wednesday night for Dynamite, or if they were going to do, a little bit of both. I think they've touched on pretty much everything that's going to go on Sunday throughout the two nights. I thought that, as far as the pay-per-view goes, the standout for me on Wednesday night was MJF's promo. That was really good, as well as the back and forth between Miro and Kingston that played out again tonight on Rampage. So, I know you guys aren't the biggest Eddie Kingston fans, but like I say, he will talk you into the building and put you in a seat. And I think him and Miro have been perfect foils for each other so far. Interested to see the type of match they have on Sunday. That's one that I have my eye on and that, but, yeah, overall, the main event on Wednesday night, the match itself was what it was, and I enjoyed the match. I thought Phoenix, like always, stood out to me. The man is a magician on the ropes. I don't know how he does half the shit he does without, falling and breaking something every single time he gets up there. But glowing the cage and just having Kenny come out with a microphone and yell into it for 5 straight minutes to close the show just didn't do anything for me at all, to get me excited for him and Christian, and as well as the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. I think, the Bucks and Lucha Brothers have potential to steal the show and have match of the night. We saw what they did with the ladder match. That was insane with some of the spots they pulled off, and those four guys absolutely have chemistry in the ring together with each other. So, I'm hoping and praying everything's okay, but I know there's going to be some moments where like my anxiety is going to be to like 175 if I see Phoenix and Matt Jackson on top of the cage. I can only imagine what type of crazy shit they're going to cook up together.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, so yeah, we got the cool moment. We saw, Sting, Darby, CM Punk in the ring together, got a little face off. Then they beat up the 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, which led into the main event for Rampage tonight. Got to see it go to sleep. As a troll on Wednesday, as a troll, I tweeted out Kenta does it better with a picture of Kenta just to see if I can make the internet wrestling community go up in arms there. But yeah, I mean, not their best outing as far as go home shows go, but I mean the pay-per-view pretty much has been set up throughout the past couple of weeks. We know what direction they were going with match wise. And overall, I think it is a strong card for a pay-per-view. As we get into it, and we'll break it down. But yeah, I don't know if you guys think that they could have done anything better storyline-wise for the matches that they have announced for Sunday night.
I don't know. It's just the tough thing of having Rampage now being the go-home show. So your main show is Dynamite, but you know, you can't really end everything since you have a Friday night show right before the pay-per-view. So it puts them in a little tough spot, but it was their first outing with it too.
I will say this, you know, watching Rampage live for the first 2 weeks, then it was taped and then live again tonight. You know, the live feel was way better than it was watching the tape Rampage last week. I know going forward that we're going to get, you know, tape Rampages. I'm not sure how many live ones they'll actually do moving forward. I don't believe that came up in the questions of Tony Khan during the press conferences this week. He did touch on, you know, tapings with Dark and that going back to Universal Studios, kind of doing what WCW did with their Saturday night, you know, 605 show, and wanting to recreate the feeling of that with the studio shows there with Dark and Elevation. So, excuse me. So yeah,
Dark right now. Elevation's still going to be.
Oh, it's taped just with. Dark.
Yeah. For right now, okay. Elevation's going to still be taped with Dynamite and Rampage.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if that'll hurt them ratings-wise with people knowing they're taped versus live, so on and so forth. We'll see. So
I know right now, right. I think it's just whenever they, for at least the moment, when they do pay-per-views, Rampage will definitely be live the Friday before. In between, there might be an episode here or there.
Okay. So you're looking at 4 to 5 live Rampages a year.
Yeah.
But just based off of how they run their pay-per-views now. But yeah, with specials, there's the 4 quarterly specials starting the beginning of next year that'll be on TNT. Because as we know, starting January, they'll move Dynamite and Rampage over to TBS. So, maybe we'll get lives during that week as well. Who knows? But
that'd be cool.
Something to figure out and contemplate. Yeah, that might be the best idea there, you know, with that as well. I'm sure they'll figure it out and work it out logistically. I will say this, for tonight, 4-man booths are tough, right? Like, we got a great 4-man booth because we're the best 4-man booth in podcasting, okay? Even though the 4th man decided to no-show us tonight, fucking jag off. But a 4-man booth is tough, and honestly, the person that's not fitting in for me is Jericho.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody has their role and their personality, and they're working that out on the fly, and they're trying to do things. And I feel like Taz is Taz. He's fine where he's at. He's been a great color commentator guy since he was in the WWE. I feel like Mark Henry's getting more comfortable, and I don't mind hearing Mark whenever he does speak, and he doesn't speak a lot, but I mean, I feel like he's getting his feet wet and figuring out his own stuff and how he wants to handle things. Hey. Jericho just, hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you decided to show up. Hey, guess what you can do? You want to know what you can do?
What can I do?
You can redeem these nuts. How about that?
How about that? Well, I had my out. And I still decided to show up.
So yeah. So for me, Jericho is just the odd man out.
His voice carries too much.
But he's constantly shouting. Like when he's talking, he's shouting, and I don't know why he's decided to go this route with his presentation, because I enjoyed him when he did, you know, commentary with Shivani in the beginning, whenever the pandemic first hit. Like, I felt he was really good in that role. And that's where I was like, oh shit, Jericho could really transition into commentary and do this and be fine if he wants to stick around in wrestling once he's actually done wrestling. But I don't know, man, for some reason, he's just not hitting for me on his commentary team right now.
No, I absolutely 100% agree. He actually reminds me of like old Michael Cole, when Michael Cole would just yell at the screen that he was watching. It's just like, it's too much.
Yeah, it's not,
It carries. His voice carries too much.
Yeah. And like, whenever, you know, the first couple of weeks, whenever they were live for Rampage, okay, like, I guess if, you know, it's going to be in a different city or like whenever they were in Chicago and stuff, like, I guess if JR doesn't want to be there for like the live episodes, that's one thing. But like, if they're taping it, like, just keep the same booth almost. Like, I don't know if I really need to see that much of a change on this.
Yeah, I said from the get go that it should have just been Taz and Excalibur on Rampage.
Yeah.
And then if you wanted to add, you know, the baby face, if you wanted to make it a three man, because heaven forbid you go with a two man booth nowadays in pro wrestling. But if you were going to three man, you could have Mark Henry as the baby face commentator to play to Taz's heel commentator. So you had that balance there, and then Excalibur could just strictly focus on being a play by play guy, which, you know, Excalibur is, you know, obviously the future voice of AEW. You know, rumors and innuendo that JR is looking to transition into a backstage role more, but he came out on Twitter and denied that and said that was not true and it was news to him. So those reports were out there this week. Take that for what you may. But I mean, he's no spring chicken, right? I mean, he is definitely on the last nine holes of his wrestling broadcasting career. And he knows that. And you know, a lot of fans bang on JR for mispronouncing names or not knowing moves or referencing, you know, Paul White as the Big Show four times during the segment this week on Dynamite. But I mean, it's JR. He's the greatest commentator, you know, of our lifetime. I wasn't allowed to listen to Gordon Solie and those guys before, but like, to me, JR was the voice of wrestling and always has been for me. So, you know, I got Gorilla whenever I was super younger, but I didn't appreciate Gorilla because of my age. JR was, you know, early teens, you know, throughout, you know, till now. So like, but yeah, so I don't know. We'll see if they tinker with it moving forward. It looks like they're steadfast on keeping it a four-man booth here, and we'll see how it plays out. So, Joe, we just kind of went over highs and lows from the week, what you thought of both shows, Rampage and Dynamite. You know, for me, I said MJF was the highlight on Wednesday night with his promo and then the back and forth between Miro and Kingston. As far as setting up the pay-per-view goes, now – obviously, wrestling-wise, FTR versus Santana and Ortiz, that was, for me, match of the night there on Wednesday night. That's tag team wrestling to me. That's the tag team wrestling that I want to see. Don't know what FTR is going to do. There were reports that they weren't, you know, that they were going to leave again. Don't know how serious Cash's injury is, if they're going to play that up, but, you know, because they've been talking about that, if that's legitimate or not. But that's the type of tag team wrestling that I want to see. I feel like they had way better chemistry with Santana and Ortiz than what they did with the Young Bucks.
Why wouldn't you save that for All Out, bro?
Maybe they just didn't know with his injury if he was going to be back.
Yeah, it wasn't sure in that. And then when you're looking at the card as well, like, yes, you can put that on in the placement of Paul White and QT, but are they going to get the same amount of time that they had on Wednesday night on the pay-per-view? I don't think that match would get the same amount of time.
No.
So, you know, throw it on Dynamite. They got the time that they deserved. You know, they got to run it back. They got to finish the feud off. You know, Santana and Ortiz went over again. And then we'll see what this means for FTR moving forward. Conflicting information out there right now. So we'll see how it plays out with them moving forward. But yeah, I don't know if you got anything to add from Wednesday or tonight if you watched. And
I'm gonna be honest, I totally missed tonight. I couldn't even finish SmackDown the way the power set up over here. So I gotta go back and watch everything.
Yeah, your power's like Kevin Hart when he goes, I gotta, you know, move it from my savings to my checking account. Well, you know, your power, you gotta go from the generator to the actual power lines, and it's just not working right now over there.
They haven't found solar panels yet there, huh?
Yeah. Even if they did, he got to cut that big ass tree down in front of his house. The solar panels ain't gonna get no sun.
It's better. It still go out. Tree out there. The sun would decide to shine over here. It's Braddock, man.
That's true. All right. Well, nobody got anything else from the week that was All Out. We can go ahead and run through this card here.
We got 10 matches. Break it all down.
10 matches to run through, break it all down, and give our what we expect to be match of the night at the end of the card here. So let's go in no particular order. Let's just run through it as they're listed or however you want to go through it.
And let's break this down. A replacement for the, what is it, the buy-in?
Yes. So okay. We'll start with that. We got the buy-in of Best Friends and Jurassic Express versus the Hardy Family Office and the Hybrid 2.
So we got a 5v5 match here to kick off the buy-in. This makes sense given the stories that they've been telling with Jurassic Express and Matt Hardy and Wheeler Yuta and Best Friends. So but this is a good replacement here to throw on the buy-in.
This is fitting on the buy-in.
Yeah, this to me is fitting of the pre-show, absolutely. And Tony Khan came out this week and said, like, I don't know when we got into this notion that pre-show matches don't matter. He's like, I remember Stone Cold wrestling on pre-show matches. So
when he was the ringmaster.
Yeah, he wasn't Stone Cold in 2016.
He didn't add that into his set.
Yeah.
No,
but yeah. Yeah.
I remember it too, Tony. I remember it too.
Yeah, well, with this, hey, this is, you know, obviously this is going to not set the tone for tonight, but this is going to get people, you know, in their feelings and get ready for a show here. So with that being said, I'm going with the baby faces, Best Friends, Jurassic Express to go over here. Not sure who will get the pin, but I'll go with the good guys over the bad guys.
I agree. I'm thinking the same thing. Crowd loves Jurassic Express and Jungle Boy, so they're gonna be singing along to the theme song, and I'm going with Best Friends and Jurassic Express.
I'm doing the same because there's no way Jungle Boy is losing, and it's just Jungle Boy on that side. Sorry to say, but it is.
he's winning, and it's gonna be one of House Party or Private Party losing, taking the pin. Yeah. So. Marquez, there you go.
Real quick, one. side note here before the next match. So we all know AEW is strong with factions, right?
Yeah.
Malachi Black, Tommy End did an interview this week, and he said, question was posed to him, who would he like to add to the House of Black if he were to create a faction? And he said, Butcher and the Blade and Abaddon. Thoughts on that as a faction?
That's fitting.
Is there somebody already?
No.
There would Hardy.
Yeah.
There would Hardy in the HFO. I think that fits in his way, yeah. You know, more to that character alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Blade, you know, with Butcher being out hurt, it was just like, all right. And I know Butcher was with them before he got hurt, but we're just kind of okay. We'll leave you here with them, no. But they don't really no. Fit.
The Hardy Family Office just does nothing at all for me. So
well, it does nothing either. It's a bunch of jobbers.
I'd rather see Malachi Black just be by himself than actually create a faction. But if something does develop, I mean, I wouldn't hate that. It doesn't sound bad on paper.
I'm with you. I like Black by himself. He should be like that floater. Him and Miro.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's no need to put him into a faction straight off the bat here. But I just thought it was interesting that those were the names that he picked. And after I read it, I was like, okay, I can definitely see them playing into it, especially Abaddon. Mm-hmm. I think she would be perfect with that type of, you know, character, the vibe, the aura, everything that he's mm-hmm. presenting right now. I think she would slide in and be really good in that role with them.
I wouldn't be upset with seeing her on TV more because they definitely don't use her enough, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. She's gotten her – she's not that she wasn't in shape before, but, like, I don't know if you pay attention to her at all. Like, she's put in the work. So, like, she's definitely changed up her body and everything else. Not that she needed to, but you know, she looks completely different from a looks perspective. And you know, I definitely want to see her more because I enjoyed that. Was so outside the box from anything that we saw, especially coming from a woman. Like the only other character, woman's wise, that I can say is similar to her would be Su Young in Impact.
Sure.
But yeah, Rosemary is kind of a stretch, but like it was different. It was new. It was something that I hadn't seen before, and I enjoyed it. So get her more screen time.
Yeah. All right, we'll go into the next one. This next one I wish was on the pre-show as well. Paul White versus QT Marshall.
I mean, every pay-per-view needs a snack refresher / piss break. So here you go.
Yeah.
I know this does nothing for me. I don't care about this. You know, the whole Billy Gunn turning on Paul White, like, in 2002, okay, I'll accept it. But in 2021, I don't need to see that. Like,
I don't even think I would have given a shit about it in 2002.
He's just not a bitch. They're turning already. I'm sorry, Paul White.
I will say that Austin Gunn continuing to tweet out on a daily basis how many days they've gone as being undefeated is pretty tremendous.
I've seen that.
313 days, the Gunn Club is undefeated.
313 days, the Gunn Club probably hasn't had a match either.
Obviously Paul White's going to win here. There's no way he loses.
The only thing that I liked about the Gunn Club thing the other day was, you know, maybe it'd be more fitting for his Billy Gunn's sons to join the factory, just to get them more. I know they were kind of part of the Nightmare family for a bit, but they were doing nothing.
I didn't even look at it as them joining the factory or doing it for QT, because the reaction QT gave was that he was just as shocked as everybody else that it happened. Yeah. So, hey, if they are part of it and this was the ruse to set up them being involved at the pay-per-view on Sunday, then kudos to QT acting, and they should hire whoever his coach is to, you know, train up some of the other wrestlers on the roster, because he played that off beautifully on Wednesday.
Is this them breaking up the family? For the moment,
well, I mean,
I don't know if it's Malachi Black, the family, but
Malachi Black's doing that himself. He got Dustin on Wednesday night to check off another person on the
list. just keep going.
I don't want to see Big Show win. I'd rather see QT win this match, and I don't think it's going to happen. But that's who I'd rather see, so I'm going to go QT.
I don't care. I'm just like Steve. I don't care who wins this match. But for just purposes, I'm going QT. Just because Big Show's a legend. I'm tired of him. He shouldn't be in the ring. QT.
I'm hoping it's QT too, but it's Big Show.
Yeah. All right. Next match we'll go into. Moxley versus, I'm going to butcher this and I don't mean to.
Kojima.
Hiroshi Kojima.
I'm really looking forward to this match. This will be the New Japan style on full effect. Mm-hmm. So they got into it earlier at the press conference today. You know, for those of you that aren't familiar with Kojima, go look him up on YouTube and watch some of his stuff before the pay-per-view on Sunday night. This will be a hard-hitting, very stiff match, and you know, continuing the forbidden door being opened up. So, you know, I know that they were, Tanahashi was, you know, not rumored to be, but I guess that's what everybody was expecting to come over and face Moxley at the pay-per-view. He came over and ended up being Archer for the belt. So, you know, he's the U.S. champ now, and then, you know, but I'm not going to complain with having Kojima here for a pay-per-view in the States at this point in time. Like, I'll take that. But with that being said, hard to see Moxley losing on an AEW pay-per-view. So I'll go with Moxley.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Moxley fan, but I think this is definitely in his wheelhouse. I think this could be an entertaining match for the night, see what they do with it. But I agree. I'd be very surprised if Moxley lost. Because I don't see Kojima sticking around. I can I could see this just being a one and done. So I'm going with Moxley.
So, Darnell, before you and Jay go, like, you know, you hear Bully Ray and others talk about, like, building a pay-per-view and how you don't want to have the same matches as other matches on the card, right? Each match, given storyline or whatever, but you don't want to do the same moves, you know, like he's talking about back in the day where they would, like, you know, second match out, hey, we're doing this table spot, yada, 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 and, you know, him and Devon would be like, well, no, we need that for our match. Like, you guys don't need to do a table spot. It doesn't do anything for your match. Like, can't both do table spots. And I know that's kind of gone out the window here in this day and age of professional wrestling. But to me, this is going to be similar to Miro and Kingston as far as it being hard-hitting, you know, stiff, not a, you know, no shooting star presses and you know, dives out the ring. It's going to be forearms, kicks, you know, bulldogs, that type of moveset. Does it matter that they're both going to be similar in style to you guys at this point, or no, because that's just how wrestling is nowadays?
No, it doesn't bother me.
I'll look at it different, like between, like, I'll look at it like strong style and like maybe like street, not street wrestling, but I don't know what to call it, brawling.
You got strong style versus like your bar brawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I like, how many matches do you get on New Japan that are all strong style? So, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like today, like they don't build pay-per-views like that. They don't build shows like that no more. You know what I mean? Like you're seeing dives, and you know, if there's seven matches on the card, you're seeing dives outside the ring in you know, five, six, or hell, even sometimes seven out of seven matches. So like. Yeah. That obviously has evolved as wrestling has gone on. I just, because, you know, Kingston and Moxley will be, like you said, Jay, that's your barroom brawler, you know, break a beer bottle over your head, that type of stuff. And Miro and Kojima to me are similar, where they're going to be stiff with the kicks and the forearms and the clotheslines and that type of stuff. So I just, you know, I was curious to see how these two matches mirror each other with the four guys that are in both matches.
To me, those would be like your break matches. Like not take a break, but like that in your QT and Big Show, a different style of match, because you're going to get everything else. You get the same from everything else.
So you mean a break from the spot fest that we're going to see with other matches? Yeah. Gotcha. Okay,
that's what I was going to say, something similar to. Like, I just think there's enough on this card where if you space them out on the card, there's enough variety that it's not going to feel heavy on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. The layout of the matches on this card will be very interesting given the opponents and stipulations and whatnot. You know, from that standpoint, that'll be interesting to see how Tony decides to lay it out format wise. All right, Donald J, who you guys got, Moxley or Kojima here?
I got Moxley. I don't see him losing at all. And I don't know where AEW is going at with him cleaning out basically everybody in New Japan. It seemed like he's fighting every Japanese wrestler that's possible until he gets to, what, Tanahashi, Rainmaker, somebody. It just seems like every pay-per-view he's fighting another Japanese person, and he's always winning. So what's the end game with this?
Suzuki?
If you think I'm going to sit out here on this podcast and pick Moxley, you got another thing coming. Kojima.
Got a little difference there. I like it. All right. We'll dive into the 21-woman casino battle royale. And there's a lot of women. I think there's only one spot right now that hasn't been taken, which no surprise.
Yeah, the wild card. The wild card here. To me, going into it, I would say Thunder Rosa would probably be the one to get the win here. But that depends on how fast you want to get to her and Britt, because that's not something that you necessarily need to do right away. Mm-hmm. So would she be the right person to do it? Yeah, absolutely. But if you want to make, you know, maybe make somebody else in the process and have them win this, because we have seen, you know, you can argue what they've done afterwards, but I mean, you have seen people through these casino battle royales and all in buy-ins, like it's been done to help elevate people. I mean, going back to the first one, you saw Hangman win and that led to him, you know, facing Jericho for the belt. Jungle Boy with the win at, what was it, Double or Nothing? You know, with him, and then he got his match with Kenny. You saw Cage debut and win, you know, and then he got the title shot against Moxley. And, you know, so, like, it can be done. It'll be interesting to see. I will say the one thing that I wish they would have done, I wish they would have saved the return of Anna Jay for the pay-per-view, for the buy-in, and have her be a surprise, and then have her and Ty eliminate Penelope and the Bunny. Like, to me, that would have been a bigger pop than having her come back out on Dynamite on Wednesday. That's the one thing that I would have booked differently if I had the pencil, as they like to say. But yeah, I really don't know. Like, besides Thunder Rosa, there you can make a case for a couple people that were announced for this. I don't think Nyla Rose needs to win this. You know, I don't think you need to see her back. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Ishida in it, because I wouldn't mind seeing Ishida win it to get a rematch with Britt, run that back again. You know, there's a couple other people that you can get that are lower ranked if you look at ranking wise, but that it could help. It could help, you know, help elevate them. You know, I'd like to see them do more with Big Swole. Like, that's somebody that you could, you know, if you're going for a little off the radar, little shock, like, holy shit, like, they had Big Swole win this? Like, I wouldn't be mad at that, because that's somebody that I want to see more of. She hasn't been featured enough in my eyes. But, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. And I wonder who will be the surprise. Like, will it be – I know, you know, Tony came out tonight and I forget the girl's name, Blue Sky or something like that, but I forget her name, but she's a local girl from Chicago. She wrestled Red Velvet on Dark Elevation or whichever one they filmed beforehand. And she impressed so much that Tony came out and announced in front of the live crowd that she's going to be in the Battle Royal on Sunday. So nice story there. You know, so yeah, I don't know who they'd say. Thunder Rosa to me is the obvious choice. Not that you ever want to go with the obvious choice, but I don't think they need to do that, because her and Britt is the money feud, and I don't necessarily know if you want to do that so early in the Britt's run.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick run back. I'm hoping for Anna Jay. We'll see who the surprise is, but going in, I'd like to see Anna Jay. You know, they were kind of building her up before, and I'd like to see. I don't see her winning. If she wins, I don't see her beating Britt, but at least put her back in the picture pretty quickly and get people on notice with her.
I'll go with Ty Conte with it. It'll be a good face heel for Britt. No.
I'm not saying she'll win, but I think this is where you can build a Kiera Hogan. Good breakout moment in there. Yeah. But then,
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got some names that are known. You know what I mean? Maybe not known to like AEW people, but AEW's supposedly the smart fans, so they know all these people, right? So like somebody like Kiera, somebody like Big Swole, like, you know, there's some women that are in this match that you can bump up to have a one off with Britt, that it'll help elevate them. So later on down the line, you have somebody gets injured or whatever, then you can work them up, because that's a piece that they can reference in building that person back up. Like, oh, hey, don't forget, she won the casino, you know, she won the all-in battle royal and challenged for the title previously and gave the champ a run for her money there. Let's see what she does now with more wins on their belt or whatever. Like, there's ways that they can go with it to help elevate somebody else in the division for sure. So I don't know. We'll see if they stick with chalk.
It's a toss-up.
Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they, I mean, to me, Thunder Rosa is the only chalk pick here. Like, if you were to pull 10 people, I'm sure 10 people would pick Thunder Rosa. But it's just whether or not they want to go with chalk or if they want to have, you know, a 7 or an 8 seed make it to the national championship game, so to speak.
Because she definitely don't need to win.
No, she don't. No.
You can insert her anytime in the storyline. Yeah.
And I'm glad,
right? Because she already has the history with Britt, so yeah, you don't need that. Yeah, no, I agree. So we're right. Taking the field. If we were betting this, we're you know, like how they used to do Tiger Woods versus the field. We're gonna have Thunder Rosa versus the field, and we're all taking the field here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're taking the field. All right.
Next up, we got Jericho versus MJF. If Jericho loses, he retires from wrestling.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It does sound familiar, but the only difference with this one is that they have me biting on the line more than what they did with Roman and Cena.
And
what they but from what they've told storyline wise, I buy this stipulation more for this match based off of what they've done in the overall scheme of the story. This makes more sense. And then if you follow the tea leaves and you know Fozzy's going on tour and everything else, and yada, 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 like, you know, okay, there's possibilities there. Not saying that, you know, Jericho, this will be his last match ever, but they have the intrigue is there for that. So I will say that. So if MJF wins, he'll be the only one from the Pinnacle that's won the overall feud with a person from the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
Yep.
They split, you know, Blood and Guts and Canadian Stampede, they split. And then after that, they broke off into the individual feuds. Hager beat Wardlow. Guevara beat Shawn Spears. Santana and Ortiz beat FTR.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Jericho winning, that means everybody in their circle beat everybody in the Pinnacle. And if you notice, you haven't heard the name the Pinnacle or Inner Circle said in a long time. Mm-hmm. So we don't even know what that means for either one of those factions at this point in time.
Yeah.
Just interesting. I will bring up this to you guys just because I listened to the clip earlier today, but Bully Ray and Dave LaGreca were talking on Busted Open, and Dave and MJF have a great back and forth. If you follow along, you know what the deal is with that. But Dave has always said MJF right now at 24 is as good as he is. Can you imagine him 5, 7, 10, 12 years from now, how good he's going to be? And Bully countered the point and said, I don't think he's going to get much better because he's damn near perfect now. Bully said he's good in the ring. And you only need to be good in a ring if you're perfect on the mic. And to him, MJF is perfection on the microphone. He said, I don't even notice MJF thinking when he cuts a promo. He goes, there were times where I would see The Rock think about what he's going to say during promos. He said, MJF, it's 3, 2, 1, go. MJF goes from the top of his head, doesn't stutter over a word, doesn't stammer, doesn't miss a word, nails it every single time, cut, and see you next time, walks out the door.
No.
Said, you don't get much better than that. And he was like, I challenge any veteran to argue that point with me. But with all that being said, do you think Bully's right? I mean, is MJF as good as there is on the microphone right now across pro wrestling, heel or face?
He's definitely the best on the mic in AEW.
Yeah.
Probably he could be the best one in pro wrestling right now. I think the only one that I'd put against him on the mic would be The Miz.
Yeah, if they let Miz go,
yeah,
and just run off the top, I think Miz is comparable.
Yeah, that's where I think that's where I'd consider him, because Miz is really good on the mic, but a Miz match is an okay match. You know, he does the job. And that's kind of the way I feel about MJF. Yeah. He does the job on the mic, but in the match, it's an okay match. Mm. He could do better in the ring. You know, I think business that's where the experience usual will come. Yeah. I think, you know, 10 years down the road, he'll have a better match than what he's giving you now.
if you're starting up a company, okay, you're starting up a company and you're drafting solely heels versus babyface, right? No tweeners. We're going heels versus babyface. Mm-hmm. Where do you draft MJF in your promotion? Where do you take him? What pick? Straight heel babyface. I'm drafting MJF number one. I'm drafting MJF number one.
No.
First overall pick.
MJF number one.
Absolutely.
For me, he's not money yet. He's good. He's not money yet. Yet is the key word there.
He's 24 years old. He's 24 years old, and there is the strong argument, and this is just me talking because I'm a dumb mark, and you know I'm just a wrestling fan for 25 years out of my life. Plus, Bully Ray, who's been in the business 30 years, is saying that he's the best talker there is right now. And he's perfection on the microphone. And he has heat everywhere he goes. He's not afraid to be booed. In this era of I'm a character on TV, but I'm different on social media. No, MJF is the same MJF 24/7 a day, 365 days out of the year.
When he knows he's on, he lives the gimmick.
I'm starting a company and I'm looking heels versus baby faces. My first heel, my number one draft pick for a heel, I'm taking MJF number one. And I don't know who else I would take ahead of him. Face.
I don't know who, but I'd take a face first.
Yeah. That's
but no, for that
I could think of.
Not the order heel versus face doesn't matter. I'm just saying out of all the heels,
who you taking first?
I'm taking MJF first out of all the heels. He's going to be my number one draft pick. He's going to be my number one heel of my company whenever I start up. Hands down, no debate for me.
I don't know. I'd have to think on this longer. It's not something I need to give an answer this quick.
See, but...
Adam Cole's popping in my head.
But who do you consider a tweener?
Well, I mean, there lies the rub, as they say.
Like, would you consider Seth a tweener?
Seth would be a tweener to me because he's done baby.
So they've like done both sides.
Yeah, and I mean, Seth's been around longer on TV, so yeah, you're going to have the flip between baby. But like, yeah. You know, to me, Seth has done his best work as a heel. So I would put him in the heel category. Like if you're going to go down tweeners, then you'll separate them out. You know what I mean? And say, okay, like Roman, I want Roman as a heel, this Roman, but I'm taking MJF over Roman.
I'm not saying it's a bad call, but yeah, I don't know. We'll revisit another episode.
Stew on that. Yeah,
we have a WWE draft that we'll probably be doing some stuff on. Maybe we can revisit it then. actually make our own draft.
We might do that and just throw out what picks WWE ran off, but we might hold our own draft. That's probably a better idea than actually, you know, running through the WWE draft. But all right, so going back to the match itself. I really am. Like I said, originally I would say yes, Jericho automatically. There's no way he's done. He retires. But again, with the story they've been telling, like it's more than plausible that MJF wins this. And like Jericho can always come back. We know retirement in pro wrestling never really happens. Ric Flair is still out doing stuff. Terry Funk retired 47 times. I think they held a retirement. I think they held a retirement ceremony for him in all states in the U.S. and around the world, and he still wrestled. So yeah, he could come back at any point in time. So like, hey, if you want to get more heat on MJF, why don't you have him retire, Chris Jericho? Why don't you have him retire Sting? Why don't you have him retire, you know, Paul White?
He's not going to be Legend Killer. Come on now. He's not gonna be there.
No, but I'm saying if you have
him, could be.
If you have him, please. If you have him retire, if you have okay, so forget the Legend Killer argument. If you just have him retire Jericho and Sting, right? Then you have a super hot heel. And then you could have your Uber babyface stand across the ring from him and take him out. He still hasn't lost in a singles match. So you could have, like, I mean, Jungle Boy's over now, but, I mean, you have Jungle Boy take out MJF after he retires Jericho and Sting. Like, Jungle Boy, I said this, Jungle Boy and MJF are like 12 Let's years see. From now, that's, you know, that's your Omega Moxley, or, you know what I mean, of AEW. They're going to
We lost you, Steve.
We can't hear you.
All right, while you're doing that, I get where your Steve's coming from with this, and I don't know. I just can't see that this is it for Jericho, and especially running MJF three times in a row. Like I could see, I think my money would be on Jericho in this match. It would, I don't know if it necessarily does anything because MJF's already now beaten him twice. So what does it really matter? I'm gonna go with Jericho.
I feel like this one is more, but like. The stipulation is more believable, has you intrigued, but I'm gonna go with Jericho.
It pains me to pick an older guy over a younger guy, but if it wasn't for the stipulation, I would pick MJF for sure. Mm-hmm. Over it. But that stipulation, just like with the whole Roman Cena thing, it tells you who's gonna win the match.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it does. There's no way Jericho is losing.
I mean, you have the interesting thing, too, of, you know, right now, you had this what do you call it, the five realms of Jericho?
Mm-hmm. The labors,
The five labors of Jericho. And so you just had that. So you had him face, you know, Juventud. So that was like that was a throwback match. So it's like, it kind of plays all together that, you know, you have him look to his past and now questioning his future. Mm-hmm. So it is a good story, you know, for him to go out on, but it's time for him to go out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Like, as he was talking about MJF as the top heel, do you see him as comparable to the top face in the company? Like, would it be believable for him to beat Moxley?
Because Moxley got anime plot armor. It don't seem like he's losing ever.
Because like I could see if Jungle Boy takes him out, that builds Jungle Boy.
Yeah, that will put him.
If Moxley takes him out,
And Moxley did take him out already, so.
I mean, and to me, Jericho's not the top.
No.
Jericho hasn't been the top guy. Even though he held the belt, he was not the – he was there for a reason.
Top for name, yes.
But not in ring, yeah.
Yeah. No,
I agree. So what happened if – we'll just say, like, what happened if Hangman wins the belt and then MJF takes out Hangman?
To me, he's in a different league than Hangman's above MJF to me.
In the ring. Yeah.
Agree. Yeah. It just wouldn't match for me.
Where I think it's kind of the opposite word, you know, I like Hangman. I think he's interesting, but MJF would talk him into a corner.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's you have And that's the thing. MJF just isn't there yet in the ring for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just think mm-hmm. he can talk me into the match every day of the week. But once it comes time for that.
I think he's just okay in the ring.
Yeah.
True. Same. I think he's just okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this and future rate of MJF, because like Steve said, there's a story for MJF to win this.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh yeah, for sure there is.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It's just where they go, and like he brought up too, the whole Inner Circle Pinnacle thing. It's like where they go with that next is questionable as well. I'm done with the two of the factions. Like they can, yeah, go on, but
mm-hmm.
are they actually going to continue on? There's a question there.
Pinnacle don't need to go on. it.
Please go on, Jericho. All right, we'll move on to the next one. One of the matches that's been hyped up. CM Punk versus Darby Allin. I'm not sure where I'm going. This is a tough one too. It's like you have Darby, you know, who is kind of one of your big faces right now. The fans love him. Yeah, but then same thing with CM Punk. You know, the fans in Chicago, I think, would riot if CM Punk didn't win. you have both sides of the coin there, but does a loss hurt Darby Allin? Not at all.
No.
And you have what Sting said this week that he's just gonna see Darby out and then he's gonna head to the back. So it's gonna be one on one, supposed to be, but
mm-hmm.
you know,
we'll see.
This is also AEW where a brawl happens in every segment of the night. So I'd be very surprised if CM Punk didn't win. I think this is a given. You know, it's his first match back. But Donald, he's a legend. How do you feel about this?
Darby got ultimate plot armor too. He haven't lost in like forever. I don't know if AEW wants to be different. If they really, really want to be different, I'm going with Darby in this. I am going with Darby. I'll go with Darby. I don't care if it's in Chicago. I don't care about all that stuff. Don't care about the aura that CM Punk have. No, I'm going Darby.
I want to see the place riot. I want to see the place riot.
Some people just like to watch the world burn.
If they give them a real good match and Punk lose, they won't riot. No. Man, they're not going to riot. And plus, there's a little thing called Chicago PD, too. They're not going to riot.
Hey. They ain't that fast. We see people get in the ring.
Is that who you're going with? You're going with Darby, or
I'm gonna go with Punk. Though I want to see the world burn.
What did Steve say?
Steve said baby versus baby never works. We'll be like a Hogan versus Rock reaction. Punk doesn't lose his first match back.
See, I don't want that though. You know how they all turned on the Rock. I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to see them boo Darby out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they did on The Rock, you know, they completely turned on him for that match. But I definitely, because the reaction was good on Dynamite this week. You know, it wasn't what it was at United Center, but at All Out, I think you're going to get a lot of people coming in from out of town, too. Probably more than you had on TV this week. So I think the reaction is going to be pretty big for him on Sunday. All right, we'll head up next. We'll get into our first title match of the night. We got the TNT Championship, Champion Miro versus Eddie Kingston. The match that, yeah, Steve's an Eddie Kingston fan. Eddie can talk him into the building for anything. So, but Steve, do you think that he can destroy God's favorite champion? There's the question there. And if he can't, who can? You guys want to go around the horn on this one first?
I might be less interested in this than QT versus Paul White.
I don't think I can be less interested in any match more than that.
These two do nothing for me, especially Kingston.
Can you hear him?
He said, technology, these nuts.
All right, am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah.
You're back.
Yep. You're back. This is what happens. This is what happens when you get a brand new laptop and new microphone because you want to be a professional at podcasting, and you know, your computer says, "Hey, you need to do these updates, or else none of your shit's gonna work."
All right, so we just moved on to TNT Championship, Miro versus Eddie Kingston.
Talk me into this match.
Oh, well, I'm never going to talk you into this match. One, it's an AEW match, so that's never going to happen. And two, it's an Eddie Kingston match. And so you're the type of person that there's no need to argue with, because nothing I ever say is going to change your mind. You're gonna be how you're gonna be on this match regardless. Listen, I enjoy Eddie Kingston. He brings an authenticity to pro wrestling. You believe what he says. Are you gonna get 5-star matches out of Eddie Kingston? No, he's not that type of wrestler. I'll never go into a match thinking I'm gonna watch a 5-star classic. But will I be entertained and will I be excited to watch an Eddie Kingston match? Yeah, absolutely. Miro, to me, this is the best Miro that we've seen probably forever, period. The Redeemer gimmick, he took it in a direction that I didn't think he was going to go with it. I thoroughly enjoy it. Him doing a minute and a half to a minute promos, he has not missed on any of the promos that he has done since he's won the TNT title. Tony came out this week in his press conference. He said the TNT title is not a mid-card title. And honestly, I don't think it's been booked like a mid-card title. If you look at the feuds and the battles and who's held it, it hasn't been booked like a mid-card title. It's been booked like it's on equal footing with the AEW championship, which, you know, you go back in the day, you know, there were times where the IC belt was on par with the WWE championship. You can have that type of dynamic between those two championships, and yet the individuals that hold each of those titles could be in two different lanes, and it's still work. One doesn't necessarily have to need to be above the other in order to make each championship worthy. You don't have to have a pecking order. As long as you book each title strong, and they have the roster to where they can book each title strong. So with that, I'm thoroughly enjoying this Miro run. I don't want to see it end. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, this match circle back around at some point in time in the future. Miro called out Eddie. He wants the Mad King, and he's going to get the Mad King on Sunday. So I expect these two to beat the ever-loving dog shit out of each other. It's not going to be 12, 15 minutes long. You know, you're not going to see chain wrestling. You're not going to see Hurricane Ranas. Like, they're just going to beat the dog shit out of each other, and last man standing is going to get the win. So I think they may get you with a false finish or two, but in the end, I expect Miro to retain.
I'm hoping Miro beats the shit out of Eddie Kingston this match. I just want to see brutality. Miro gives that, but I can't buy into Eddie Kingston at all. I think he has some talent on the microphone, but everybody has that family member or that person in their town that's that dude that just tries to hustle them out of something. That's just how I feel every time Eddie Kingston gets on the mic. I just feel like he's trying to.
He's sell from me New couch. York. What do you hustle?
Every time he gets on, I'm expecting him to try to sell me a Cadillac that's just a cover that turned up some old jalopy or something.
You would buy a fake gold Rolex off of Eddie Kingston walking down 58th Street in the Bronx. And it'll turn your wrist green in a week later. That's how good he is on the microphone.
I would buy it from him knowing it was a fake. Just be like, hey, what's up?
Like, clearly you need the money more than me, guy.
Here. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I don't mind him on the mic so much. He doesn't do anything for me whenever I watch him wrestle. So that's why I'm hoping Miro beats the shit out of him, and I'm going with Miro to retain.
Chris made all right. My points for me. he basically did. He did. I'm going with Miro. Eddie Kingston's good on the mic, but he's like that uncle at your family reunion, does all the talking and does nothing in the ring. Yeah. All talk, no action.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be sniffing no title. I don't, no title.
Not.
No. No. Six-man tag title, maybe.
You wouldn't put the tag on him and Moxley?
No. Hell no.
I'm going to go with Miro. Pains me.
Pains you?
No, pains me to pick. This is like me. This is like me and Dawn and Rhea and Charlotte. I haven't picked before. I'm not picking again.
All right, we'll move on. We'll go into the AEW World Tag Team Championship Steel Cage match. Got the champions, the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers.
I'm over the Elite. I'm over what they've done. The cocky douchey heel stuff to me is run dry. It's grown stale. The Lucha Brothers to me, I felt like they should have already have been AEW tag team champions.
Yes.
They gotta get the straps at some point in time. Now would be a good time to end the Young Bucks run. So I'm going with the Lucha Brothers. For that and that reason only.
When did the Young Bucks reign start? Does anybody remember?
They beat FTR.
Was that the beginning of the year?
Revolution. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it came out the Lakers championship stuff.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that.
Before that. Yeah.
Or was that Full Gear?
No. It might have been. I don't know if it's been that long, but uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if they had the title before Kenny. But yeah, we were going back and forth between Lucha Brothers and Jurassic Express here on this a few weeks back, and I felt like whoever was going to win to get into this match should win the tag titles. I still feel that way. Yeah, Lucha Brothers are too good not to have had gold yet in AEW.
And
you can't just keep putting Young Bucks over everybody just because they're the Young Bucks.
Yeah, but saying? I mean, the Lucha Brothers did beat them in the ladder match to retain the AAA belts. And I know it's not the AEW belts, but I mean, if you're looking at it from a championship perspective, yeah. Lucha different Brothers belt. Are up 1-0. Different belt. I get it, but
different booking. They, you know,
they could say that. As you know, a fallback, but I want something different. Like like I said, the Elite stuff has grown stale. So,
and if they're not tag champions, that's not going to change their gimmick with that group right now.
No, it
won't. If that's where they're going to continue, it's just going to be the same, just without them wearing gold. So yeah, I want to see the Lucha Brothers win the tag titles on Sunday.
Full Gear. So okay, it's coming up on a year, November.
Yeah,
it's each time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going match of the night though.
I think this will be a good match. Storyline wise, I wasn't expecting this at all because I knew the Lucha Bros were in something with Andrade, and it seemed like that this match, like storyline wise, was set up for Jurassic Express with the steel cage and all the interference during their matches, but. It doesn't matter. Young Bucks had the belts way, way, way too long. So I'm going Lucha Bros.
All right.
So across the board. Okay. We'll go into the AEW Women's Championship. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD versus Chris Statlander.
Britsburg. Pittsburgh's only real true hope and the only champion of the 412 of the black and gold. She's not losing this match. Come on now. We can spend 5 seconds on this. Like we're
yep.
Britt.
Anybody not taking Britt?
She's coming in like the Pirates last night.
Why? Like, what? Yeah, I was going to say, can you even give me a legitimate reason as to why?
Yeah, no, she's going to. I love Chris Statlander, but Britt's winning this one. There's no way you're taking the belt off her.
No. All right, so that goes into our possible main event of the night. The AEW World Championship, Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage.
This is interesting. I don't want to say they booked themselves into a corner, but they kind of booked themselves into a corner. You had Christian win the Impact World title for the, you know, the shocking moment, first ever Rampage. You know, rumors were Omega was going to drop the belt to Andrade at Triple Mania, but then AEW didn't want Omega to lose on back-to-back nights to drop two belts in a row. So they switched that finish around. Konnan talked about, you know, he didn't go into details. He said he was going to save that for another episode or a Patreon, but he talked about that story a little bit on his podcast, Keeping It 100. So, yeah, I mean, Christian's not going to be a double champ. Like, I don't think you can say that. But again, you know, this is why Hangman should have been in this spot. I don't know why they pulled the plug on that whenever that was the story everybody wanted. And I don't know what you're saving Hangman up for in order to get it off of Omega. You know, this was the perfect timing. If this is your biggest or second biggest pay-per-view that you do, you know, a la your WrestleMania, you want that spot, that moment, that story. And you know, Hangman Omega was better than Cage Omega. So
yeah.
Do you think Punk Brian upstages this? Would have upstaged it if it were Hangman?
One of them coming in or that match?
Just the whole storyline.
No, Punk no. Brian, no, and there's rumors that they bumped up Brian to debut at All Out on Sunday instead of doing it at the Arthur Ashe show, based off of like stuff going on with COVID in New York and changes and whatnot. Like, so expect to see Brian Danielson debut in AEW on Sunday night, in some form or fashion. Which Andrade is claiming he wants to wrestle a mystery opponent, so that could be your mystery opponent.
Has Punk upstaged this title run or this current title story?
Not the main.
He hasn't. He hasn't gone nowhere near any of that. He's been Darby since he came out and
talked. I mean, like just a moment.
That's bigger than this match.
No,
I think. I don't know if it's necessarily upstaged it, but.
I will be interested.
That has more interest than what I am for this match.
Now, here's Jay, where you may be leading, but does this match main event the pay-per-view? Or do you main event with Punk and Darby? Because you're in Chicago. What do they always say? What's the thing that people remember most about the pay-per-view? How the pay-per-view ends, how you go home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you end a pay-per-view with Kenny Omega winning over Christian Cage to close the show, or do you end with CM Punk winning his first match back in his hometown at the biggest show of the year, quote-unquote, to send everybody home happy, and that's your moment that closes the show?
But what if Daniel Bryan closes the show after Kenny Omega wins the match? What if that's where he debuts?
I don't like inserting DB right into the title picture.
Or what happened if Hangman shows up at the end?
Hangman's not going to show up until they're in Virginia.
Okay.
At Dynamite. And I just say that because that's his hometown, and with his wife, with the baby and everything else, like,
yeah.
He will. That's whenever I see Hangman coming back. So. If you're going to debut,
what are they in Virginia?
I want to say beginning of October or middle of October.
That could work out. So you bring him back early October, then you build up to full gear, the title.
That could work there. Yeah. If you have Omega and Cage main event, right, and then you have Bryan Danielson debut, isn't that similar to what you had with Omega Moxley and or Omega Jericho, and then you had Moxley come out? Like, why would you want to run the same thing back again? And AEW does a good job so far. They've done a good job of not like repetitively doing, besides having brawls. But I mean, like, as far as debuts go and bringing people in, like, they haven't done the same thing twice yet. So, like, why would you want a former WWE guy who's coming in to do the same thing that a former WWE guy did whenever he debuted?
And Danielson, jumping in line in the title picture.
And Danielson, to me, is not that type of character either. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be much better where Andrade's out, talk some shit on Pac because Pac couldn't come due to travel issues and everything else getting back over here. You know, challenges somebody for an open match, lights go out, DB's, you know, his music hits, fucking roof blows off, and, you know, you're off and running there. Like, it would make more sense if Adam Cole came out at the end of Omega Cage. Or you have Adam Cole come out and cost Christian the match. Then you can have Christian and Cole go off into a feud themselves. Omega still retains. He won via a la cheating. So you could have Cole and Cage. You can also have Cole turn on Omega, and there's a storyline built in right there because of the history with that group and him. So, like, there's different things you can do if you put Adam Cole in that place instead of Bryan Danielson, if you're going to close the pay-per-view that way. Now, this is all speculation. We have no idea.
Yeah.
You know,
for me, I'd rather see – I think the title is more important than the moment. The title deserves that main event spot.
WWE doesn't always close. They haven't always closed the show with a title match. So,
I mean,
I don't know. It could happen. That's why I said the format of this show is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And how you do it and how you set up the card and who goes on when. Like, you know, first match to set the tempo right out the gate. Like, shit, I wouldn't be surprised if they threw Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers in a cage match first.
Possibly.
Hey, you want to talk about getting?
Why not?
get a crowd hot and get a crowd ready. Like, go with that.
Because if AEW title match would be the main event, or vice versa, CM Punk's the main event. I don't know. You need something in there to buffer, and I don't even know what I put in the buffer there. Because there's some matches that would fit, but I don't know. Maybe you would put the TNT title in between the two of them.
You put QT here.
They don't deserve that spot. that's too late in the night.
That's too late for Big Show.
But with all that being said, who you got, Omega or Cage? I'm going with Omega.
I got Omega because I don't.
Clean sweep.
Yeah.
And to me, there can't be no cheating, no shoddy finish. Beat him clean. Storyline over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Christian. With the chair shot, you know. Yeah, I think Kenny needs to actually win this match.
And I mean, the only way that you could do the funky finish, Jay, like I said, if you have Cole debut, now will they want to shoot both bullets on the same night and have Danielson come in and Cole? Like, I don't know if they'd want to shoot this. And I mean, Cole's almost, I mean, it's a damn near guarantee at this point, right? Raw happened, he didn't show up. SmackDown happened the night, he didn't show up. So what that goes to tell you. It's AEW, and it just depends on when they decide to bring him in. You know, like I said, Brian.
And this is why we have a new NXT.
Brian was supposed to debut at New York in Arthur Ashe, and they've decided to change that. So, give him the the match against Andrade against, you know, surprise opponent. And you can have them two feud, you know.
Did Cole and Andrade fight at all, or were they two different? Did they not pass each other?
If they did, it was very early on, and I don't even know if they had a match.
I don't remember.
So yeah, I mean, well, no, they didn't, because McIntyre beat Andrade, and Cole debuted by taking out McIntyre.
Okay.
McIntyre beat Rude.
Oh yeah. All right. So Omega with the win.
Yeah. Across the board.
All right. So match of the night for me, I was going to initially go with Andrade and Pac as a sleeper. But obviously that's not on the card anymore. So with that, I think I'll fall back to the Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers in the cage for match of the night.
Same.
I'm going.
With Phoenix is the MVP.
Yeah. Right now, unless they would add, you know, Daniel Bryan, Andrade or something like you said, the card we're looking at right now, that'd be my match of the night too.
Keep Cutler and homie with the
Kaz.
The interpreter.
Nakazawa.
No, the other one.
Alex.
Yeah.
Penta's keep those guys
backstage.
Yeah.
You mean Spanish Puff Daddy?
Take that.
So you're saying you expect a match not to have some sort of run-in? I don't care if it's a paper and you're paying for it.
Those guys just get on my nerves. I don't know why.
All right. Well, that is the week that was for AEW in Chicago. Don't be surprised if you see Ric Flair on Sunday night too. throwing that out there. Calling it now, so don't be surprised if you see that. Lucha Brothers, Young Bucks, match of the night. We'll see who they go with as far as the main event goes for the card itself. I think overall, like, this is one of their stronger lineups from top to bottom for a card that they've had on a pay-per-view.
It looks good.
Yeah,
it does. So hopefully it delivers. It'll be a long show. Buy-ins at 7, pay-per-views at 8. So we're definitely going 8 to midnight for sure.
Like always,
you know, like a 65-year-old man on Viagra.
Y'all might be going 8 to midnight. I might tap out a little early.
Wouldn't be your first time.
All right. Thanks for tuning in tonight, folks. Follow along on all social medias. Let us know your match of the night. You know, predictions, what we got right, what we got wrong. As always, follow us on social media. Email the show, dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Head over to Pro Wrestling Tees. Buy some merch. Support the show. Give you a shout out live on air. That's prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow live at our regular scheduled time at 11 a.m. for the special one-year anniversary show of the Dumb Marks podcast. We love you guys. We appreciate you rocking with us. A year has flown by. I can't believe we're coming up on our one-year anniversary for our show here. Thanks for everybody that tunes in. We really do appreciate you guys. Shout out to everybody that follows along, interacts with us on social media. And with that being said, gentlemen, do any of you have anything else to say before we wrap up the show tonight?
Yes.
Bomb. Get the fuck out of here. Fucking ruin it. You're ruining Bubbly by adding Crystal Light.
Bomb.
Son of a bitch.
buy the merch on prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod, like Steve said. And if you buy it now through this upcoming Monday of Labor Day, you can save
20%. 20%
off. 20% off. Get that show. I got a live shout out for the show tomorrow for a Mark that bought some merch. So we'll appreciate that. I'll give him a shout out to kick off the anniversary show. With that being said, you're a Mark. I'm a Mark. Tell a Mark. And until tomorrow morning, y'all can catch us around the way.